This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, let's turn our attention to our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. How's it going?
Good. Do you like to vote early, or are you a vote on the day of kind of guy?
You know, I think traditionally I've been a vote day of, and after I started seeing all the long lines on early voting, I said, you know what? If I don't start off at like 8 o'clock in the morning today, I may be tardy getting here in time for you guys.
Oh, right.
Thank
so
you,
Mickey. So I voted early.
Thank you, very go. Much for being here and being on time.
The lines were long at my gym this morning already. That's one of the voting stations.
Oh, complaining. I was just like, are people working out their aggression at the gym? I was like, I just know I'm going to be mad.
Well, you know, back in the day, we used to vote it. You know, sometimes at schools, right?
Oh, yeah, elementary schools.
Now we just can't have anybody walking into the school just to vote, right?
My elementary school was a polling place, I'm not going to lie.
Too.
I thought that was the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah, I loved it.
Because I was a nerdy kid as well. And I just thought it was so neat that people were voting at my school. Now, speaking of early voting, the early votes are in on this Mingo trade, and they are largely negative. Do you think that is fair, or do you think, hey, we can always just wait till he goes on the field and see what happens?
Well, he was pretty good at Ole Miss, wasn't he?
He was. In the pros, not so much.
Well, and who was throwing to him?
Bryce Young.
That's
number one overall pick, Mickey.
I mean,
well, I think we all agree, Bryce Young, it's not been particularly good.
I mean, last year, I mean, he was what, the second round pick, the eighth pick in the second round?
Yeah.
He had, as a rookie, 43 catches for 418 yards. So, you know, okay. You know, he didn't light it up, but that offense didn't light it up either. They had to bring in a new coach. Now, this year looked like he was off to a slow start, but you can't change 6'2", 220, right? And a 4'4", 640.
Yeah.
So there's some things there that obviously the Cowboys saw during the draft process. Now, he's not coming in here to save the day, right? That's not going to happen.
That's true.
But I think their thinking is, and, you know, stay with me here.
Okay.
While they, Mike McCarthy, you know, kind of said yesterday CD's going to play. What if he doesn't? And I don't think Brandon Cooks is ready to go either.
Mm.
So you want to trot out there with Tolbert, Kevontae Turpin, and Jalen Brooks?
Nope.
With the next guy, if there's an injury, is Flonoy. You got a little thin there. So if and, you know, what is it, 11 o'clock? So you still got 4 hours to trade deadline.
Yep.
You know, if you had your druthers, I want somebody to come in and rush the passer. Even if Micah Parsons is coming back, because DeMarcus Lawrence probably not going to be here at Thanksgiving or so. And I think that's one of the detriments to this team right now is the inability to put pressure on an opposing quarterback, especially one that is stationary as Kirk Cousins, and he had all day to throw the football. Not enough pressure. I know Lawson finally kind of got going there and had a couple sacks, but other than that, who's putting pressure on the quarterback? So, you know, okay, you gave up a fourth, you get a player and a seventh. So, and, you know, and at least you probably don't have to wait. He should be, you know, good to go almost immediately.
Yeah.
So from a depth standpoint, I think that's what they were looking at, and as more depth for next year. Because if I remember correctly, so next year Turpin will be a restricted free agent, and Brandon Cooks is on his last year. So at some point you're going to need help at wide receiver. So I think you got to look at it as, so if you wait to next year and take a receiver in the fourth round, is it going to be better than Jonathan Mingo?
Now, I did not think about this week specifically. Like, it just, oh man, the trade deadline and make a big bold move. I didn't think about this week in depth.
Yeah,
going into
I mean, you
it
got to yeah, and I thought about it yesterday because I was thinking, whoa, if, you know, what if? Because your top two receivers are going to be out. And then, you know, but, you know, after the game, even with, you know, CD barely finishing the game, it's like, well, what's wrong with the passing game? Well, okay, I've got some young guys out there that don't have a heck of a lot of catches. Although, you know, Tolbert, nice job there at the end. CD comes back to catch the two-point conversion. And even the it was a screen pass, right, to Flannoy?
I believe that is correct.
And he looked like he knew what he was doing, running with the football. So that was encouraging. But, yeah, I just thought that whole room needed somewhat of a boost. You weren't going to find – I mean, you weren't going to find an offensive lineman to help you. I don't think. You know, they may find something. But, again, I don't know that one guy on the offensive line is going to help. And it's like, who are you benching, right? Who's the guy coming in for? You would be bringing in depth. And, you know, the little bit that Awesome Richards played, I thought he played well. I mean, it was only like three or four plays. But, you know, he didn't get beat, let's put it that way. So, but, again, those are the two things that I thought mostly they need. The offensive line's got to play better, and the defensive line has to be able to create pressure on the quarterback.
Let's go the quarterback on the other side. What is the how are we working with the two quarterbacks the Cowboys have in the future here?
Well, I'm going to assume, and it sounds like they're going to put Dak on injured reserve.
Yep.
So that's 4 weeks. And I would imagine that, you know, his open roster spot will be taken up by Mingo. And then you got Cooper Rush that I would imagine comes in. But Jerry kind of sounded like that they could have some sort of plan for Trey Lance to, you know, go in there and, you know, I don't know, do something. Maybe quarterback draws or, you know, plan runs or something like that. But, you know, Coop came in and played well. He hadn't played that much this year at all and, you know, drove him for a touchdown. So that's encouraging, and we know what he's done in the past. But it's not like he's lit up the scoreboard, right, because the games he won, the Cowboys' defense played awfully well.
Yes.
And I don't know if we can count on this defense to hold somebody to 17 or 21 points to give him a chance to just kind of manage the game and score as much as possible. Maybe get a takeaway and a short field, God forbid. I think they start with Coop and then see where it goes from there. But you got to get Lance ready, right? Because he's one play away from having to go in and play.
Yeah, that is...
Get him ready to play, Kevin.
No, I agree with that.
And I also suggest, Mickey, this is what I've been suggesting for a while. I'd start building some packages for him, specifically for him to be able to run and do some things in like in certain situations.
No,
I don't know if this team is capable of actually accomplishing it, but I would try it.
Yeah, and I'm sure that as they've been going along, I'm sure they've thought of things like that. And, you know, who knows? That fourth-round pick may pay off.
This season, Kevin.
Look. That is what they need after all the complaining about the run game and everything like that. And obviously, right. I'm hoping he does good enough to...
Well, think about the trouble the Cowboys have had. Well, they've had trouble with everybody. But,
a lot of things, yeah.
Trouble they've had stopping the run against teams that have running quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Right? And now, guess who's coming to town, right? So, again, I think that complicates that ability to do that. And... You know, and the other thing is you have to be careful because if you noticed what Mike Zimmer's been doing to create a pass rush, they've been putting extra guys on the line of scrimmage. They've been blitzing, you know, and that's what happened on the touchdown to Mooney. They were in zero coverage. You know, they had six guys on the line of scrimmage, and there really wasn't a safety anywhere in the picture. And when somebody gets uncovered, there's nobody to help pick it up because you're so worried about, number one, getting pressure on the closing quarterback, number two, trying to stop the run with what you have. And, you know, if Parsons gets back, great. That's one guy, but I don't know that he single-handedly could, you know, save this defense. They Need a little bit more of the Calvary coming over the hill.
I don't know if you heard, but Jerry Jones is on our radio station, Mickey.
Yes.
And he said, and he even said this, you know, Sunday night, but he said, I've seen turnarounds like this happen. I've been part of them. Can you kind of tell me, do you know what he's talking about? Which ones he's kind of pointing to here?
Well,
in the hit, like, because I've been trying to go back.
He's talking about 2018. I know for one because Dak referenced that too. But
okay,
that is when you did make the Amari Cooper trade, for what it's worth.
Yeah,
and they somewhat turned it. Well, I don't know if it was turning it around, but if I remember correctly, in 91 they were 6-5, and then went on to win out and get in the playoffs. And they were struggling because they had lost two or three games in a row, and they ended up, you know, kind of pulling it out and qualifying for the playoffs for the first time since 1985. 85, they kind of hung in there. They weren't really good. You know, it kind of reminded me of last year, because when they lost games in 85, they just got wiped out.
Yeah.
Like the Bears beat them 44-0. I think Cincinnati scored 50 points on them, but they finished 10-6 and made it to the playoffs and then got beat by the Rams again. I'm trying to remember if there was another. Well, they did kind of turn around in 2010. They went from 1-7 in the first 8 to 5-3 in the second 8.
Okay.
But great.
They didn't get them anywhere other than 8-8, but yeah, it was somewhat of a turnaround.
Okay, and some of those 80s ones Jerry wasn't here for. So I wonder, was his Arkansas team, did they turn something around to go win that? I don't know. I'm just trying to figure some of that out.
They were pretty good those 2 years in a row,
okay,
I believe. Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go, Kevin. I don't have the answers yet. We'll figure it out,
though. We will figure it out. All right. Appreciate the time very much, good sir. We will catch up with you again tomorrow.
All right. We'll see. We still got, 3.5 hours left.
Hey, if you hear something else, give us a shout.
Absolutely.
Boom. There you go. Mickey Spagnuolo from DallasCowboys.com.
I think the first polls closed in like 6 hours. Mickey was off.
He means for the trade deadline.
He's talking about a different time zone. That's
good point.
Yeah, it's already closed in Italy.
Okay.
It's
he's still on Italy 6 time.
6:13 p.m. there.
Okay.
Back to you, Kevin.
How are you still thinking on Italy time?
Ciao.
All right, 877-881-1053. Nobody cares about your fantasy football team, but today we do, so share your heartbreaks and triumphs. Although, I did see somebody go, nobody cares about politics, but today y'all do, so let me call in. We're probably not going to be doing any political
calls. We don't really
talk
hardcore politics.
Yeah.
Mike likes it.
Fun of politics.
The call-in political show?
Oh, my.
I give my hot political takes.
Good. Take a load off.
Nice.
You should do that on a podcast that you start.
Yes.
I colored in a lot of the map during the Mickey deal.
Oh, that's
impressive.
I need to tell you as well, Nebraska has a weird thing where I think one of their votes will go blue.
Okay.
That's Nebraska.
See, okay. Look, I colored blue in for Dallas.
So
the whole state of Texas is red. Not really the whole state. I can do like parts of Houston
and
too
Austin,
and stuff.
Yes, yeah, Austin.
It doesn't totally work like that for Texas. I mean, I'm sure that is how the vote will come in, but they won't change their electoral votes or anything
in
like
Hood
that.
Hood County. Jeez.
Look, I stretched out the name Nebraska and colored it blue.
Okay.
For the one.
You guys are doing really good.
I feel like that's cheating.
From the 945, is Mingo even good? Look, I'm just going to throw this out there. In his last 4 games, he has 1 catch for 1 yard and was targeted 5 times. So there's that. From the 903.
But how much is that because Carolina's terrible?
That's fair. I think that is a fair point.
I don't know. I don't know
did
the answer.
Did we blame Antonio Bryant or did we blame Quincy Carter?
Oh, I don't remember.
We blamed Antonio Bryant and then released him because he threw his jersey at like.
That's true.
Yeah.
From the 903, I just traded Bijan Robinson for Hopkins and Devontae. What do y'all think?
That's a strong move, especially if you needed receivers. Like, that's why I traded Bijan, because I needed a quarterback. I got Lamar, and I'm doing very well there.
Second week 4 and second 4-0 week in all of my fantasy leagues. I'm in first place in 2 of them. That is fantastic. From the 4-3-2, I squeaked by with yet another win, but I'm more excited because I've had McCaffrey stashed away since the draft. It's time to unleash the beast. Now, I know they did open his return to practice window, and there's hope that you will see him in their next game. We will see.
In my league, Kevin, we had two teams that had the best records. They were facing off against each other. They were going to tie. But the tiebreaker is bench points. And one of the guys had -6 points from the Denver Broncos defense, and he would have lost by like 1 point.
Oh, man.
But because of overtime last night, Kareem Hunt ended up breaking the tie for him. So holy, it would have been wild, dude. That would have been crazy.
I lost crazy because of my bench.
Oh, sorry, man.
I started Puka Nacua, and he got me 2 points, then got ejected. Yeah. And you know who I had on my bench? Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Oh, no.
37 points. And guess how many points I lost by? 27. I would have won by 10.
Hey, is the move today to get on your waiver wire and pick up Mingo?
I don't know, because Mike, in those situations, I'm looking at who the quarterback is.
You ever heard of a guy named Miles Austin?
Yep.
Yes.
What happened to Miles Austin when he got
Tony Romo?
Field? Yep. And what happened?
He went off.
He was good.
And got I think we got contract. The next Miles Austin.
I don't.
I like it.
I'm hope. Fingers crossed.
Yep.
From the 817, I lost by 2 points. And my defense got me -3. He said I suck.
Your team does.
Your team let you down.
Yeah, that's on them.
Look, this is what we always say about sports betting or fantasy. You made all the right moves.
Yes.
The franchise, the team, and the players just didn't do their job correctly.
That's not on you.
That's how I felt about in fantasy baseball this year.
Yes. From the 254, I won this week, even though CJ Stroud had me at -1 point. From the 945, my fantasy team is 1-8. Everyone on my team is injured. I shouldn't laugh. That's not fun. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.
Fun for the other teams competing against that.
That is true. Coming up next, it's time for AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day plus disappearing cars next on the fan.
KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. All right. We got AM on the FM in just a second, but Mike has revolutionized the way I wish they would announce political results. So, Mike, can you recapture the magic of how you would release political results in these big chunks?
All right, so I'm kind of cheating on coloring my map. I went to another map where they know which states are going to be what already,
yeah.
And then there's the ones that you're not sure about. But I would love at 6:01 p.m. tonight, if I was running CNN or whatever, I go, breaking news.
Hey, just making sure that people don't.
This is
fictional, but probably factual. It won't happen at 6:01, but this is all going to happen. At 6:01, they go, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, Utah, Arizona, Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, most of Nebraska, South Dakota, North Dakota, Iowa, Missouri, Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Florida, South Carolina, Tennessee, Kentucky, Indiana, Ohio, West Virginia, and one in Maine go to the Republican candidate Donald Trump. He now has a 200-0 lead to start this off 2 minutes into the race. When we come back, we will have breaking news if the Democrats have won a state.
And then you run down like 15 states.
And then we come back at like 6:10 and they go, breaking news. This is all fictional, but probably factual. California, Oregon, Washington, Colorado, New Mexico, Minnesota, Illinois, Virginia, Maine, most of Maine, Vermont, New Hampshire, New York, Massachusetts, Connecticut, D.C., Maryland, Delaware, New Jersey have all gone to the Democratic nominee, Vice President Kamala Harris. We now have a race. It is close to 200-200. After Donald Trump took a 200-0 lead, it is now a tight race. And now we will take the next 24 hours or more to tell you who won the other states.
I think
that's kind of how it goes.
Yes, I think that would be absolutely tremendous. And now it's time for this.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea of what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful. One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
I'm just so happy that we were able to bring the show together and find some sort of sense of consistency and focus and attention through the power of coloring.
Yeah, coloring is great, dude.
This is awesome. Alec has worked out better than I possibly could have dreamed. So thank you guys for making this happen.
This is awesome.
No, thank the government.
Yeah, I love togetherness. This is awesome, man.
I have to make a major decision on Georgia this right here. I gotta give Georgia to something.
So, for anyone curious, Mike is treating this like his NCAA tournament bracket and just like really thinking about things.
Well, really you can tough. Think of
I don't even know if Georgia's going to advance into the Sweet 16.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Huh, okay.
Because they have 16 electoral votes.
No, I understand.
They're the Sweet 16.
I get it.
You can think about the question of the day, 877-881-1053. That is the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney text line. Want to hear from the Twitch and YouTube as well. For today's question of the day, I was talking to our buddy that you see every Friday at the Buffalo Wild Wings football feast, Ruben Portillo.
Oh, yeah.
Pushing all the buttons for you, making you sound beautiful, making my job a little bit less stressful. He was texting me, I think, on Sunday, and he was out shopping, and he was like, dude, what is something that is just unreasonably expensive? And he was like, for me, it's chips. Like, why am I paying $6 for a bag of Doritos?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. So it really got me thinking. There are a lot of things that you get because you want or you need, but you don't think about the price. But if you really look at it, you're like, this is expensive for no reason. So that's my question of the day. What is something that is unordinarily expensive that shouldn't be? There's a lot.
Alec, I'll go in general terms, furniture.
That's great.
Yes.
So I know that's very general, and I will say this.
Couches are dumb.
I'm going to spend a lot more money on a couch here pretty soon.
That's a statement.
Because I did get a deal on the last couch. Won't say where I got it from, but it doesn't last very long. That's the tough thing, is if you do get furniture, which I still think is expensive, but from, let's say, a discount store.
Yeah.
You are disappointed with it 2 years into the... You're like, I spent four figures on this, I will say.
And does it feel like every furniture store is on the brink of going out of business? Because I always feel like we're having our going out of business sale. Oh, it went so well.
Yeah.
We got to stay in business.
Now, I guess it wouldn't be that expensive if somebody said, all right, you build a couch. Right? Then I'd be like, I'll pay this much money because I don't know how to build a couch.
And that's kind of what happened.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they're like, you build it.
So I'm with you. I'm not going to say furniture, but the logic behind mine is exactly the same. Children's clothing. Because they're like, I know damn well you're going to wear this a couple of times, and then you're going to get too big for it. And it's mostly children like 0 through 3. I get it. Once you get to like fourth grade, maybe you'll be the same size for a little bit longer. But
wait till you get, you know this with Brandon, shoe size.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's the same theory. And they know, they're like, you might wear the shirt 3 times. It's $17. And you're like, I'm just going to need it for a minute. And they're like, too bad.
That's why I get irritated, Mike. You'll relate to this. Whenever sneakers, Nike does a drop for like a Jordan 1, let's say, and I'm going on there at 9 o'clock, ready to submit my order and hopefully get it. And at the top, it's got the toddler size. And it's like, why would you spend $100 on a toddler shoe that they will not be able to wear in what, a year, 2 years?
And if you have like
6 months.
Yeah.
Three to 6 months.
I always think for the people who have like size 16 or 17 feet, probably, first of all, good for you for a variety of reasons. Second of all, I bet you can get in on most of those drops, because whenever there's something left, it's like, do you have enormous feet? Here you go.
Yeah, I'm with you. 13s go quick. I got a normal size feet.
I feel like probably 10 through 13-ish.
I think 9.
9 through 13.
Okay. Yeah. I think is the most common for men.
At the North Park AMC Theater.
Oh, yeah, I've been there.
It costs $10.49 for a refillable box of popcorn.
Yeah, which costs them 5 cents.
Yeah.
For a box of Orville Redenbacher, like 12 packs, it costs $6. Popcorn at the movie theater is unreasonably expensive, but you get it.
Okay.
Because you're at the movie theater.
I agree with you on that. I want to jump on that since you didn't say soda. Soda at the grocery store is drunk. Okay, you can go get, now it depends on what kind of soda you're going to get, but you can go get like a 2 liter for like, let's say $2.19. Then you go up to the impulse refrigerator at the front. They're like, do you want this 20 ounce for $2.39? I'm like, hold on. So you know I'm not going to walk back there again. They know that.
Yep.
But if I walked back there, I could maybe get a 2 liter for cheaper than your impulse buy. And they're like, that's right. And what are you going to do about it?
And you always do the wrong thing.
I always remembered asking this. And it was when I was with Buffalo, the Bison's AAA. I asked somebody about concessions there. And I'm sure it's everywhere like this. A soda, it costs more for the cup, which is about a penny per cup, maybe a hair less than a penny per cup, because they're ordering them in such huge bulk of like a Pepsi paper cup. It costs them approximately a penny per soda. So when you're paying at like a Maverick game or a Cowboy game or a Ranger game, whatever, it's think about the rewards on that. Now, beer costs a lot more, and beer's only like, I want to say, if I remember right, it's like 5 cents.
Wow.
For them, for beer. Okay. So just think of like how much money they're making off of soda and beer. I'm sure popcorn is very similar. Popcorn probably cost a movie theater 5 cents to 10 cents for a bucket of popcorn. Now, I know you're paying somebody to work and all that, but I'm literally talking about, they told me, the Bisons told me, just the product of a Coke at a game cost a penny.
Yeah, when I remember working at a concession stand, and people would come up and say, can I get a cup? And we had to charge them a quarter for the cup. And I was like, why? And they said, because like we have to pay for those too. They're going to fill it up with water. So we're charging a quarter. If they want the cup, they got to pay a quarter for that.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
Everybody's got a price. Let's see, from the Frankel & Frankel injury attorney text line. I like this one from the 561, cat food and litter. Really just pet supplies in general is getting really expensive. And because a lot of people are getting in on it. There's a lot of like luxury brands starting to step in.
Oh
on
my
it.
Gosh.
It's like, you want this dog collar? Yeah, $45.
Yes.
It's like, no, I can get one off of Amazon for $5. Why would I do that? Just because it's made out of leather? Okay.
Yeah. And don't forget about this organic dog food that we have here. That's like, you want it to eat a human food, don't you? And I'm like, I don't know. I man, love my dog.
I looked into it one time. It is too expensive. I'm like, if they die 2 years early, they die 2 years.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not paying that much money.
He had a great life while he was with me.
It's like Gavin Dawson would say, it was a good run.
Yeah, I pick up its own. I pick up its poop all the time. It has no chores.
Doesn't pay rent.
Dude, he leaves toys all over the house. I have to pick up his toys.
So what, it's dry and probably made of things that aren't the best for him. They're still alive.
He was found on an infested mattress somewhere in a bad place. And now he lives in my house.
The dog we just recently got, it said you'd be dead without us.
Yeah.
Now, Alec, I don't know if this will ever make another question of the day for a different day. What stores or shops do the people who work there know you're just checking things out so then you can go buy them on Amazon?
Oh, yes.
Cause like,
you do that?
Oh, yes.
Oh, come on.
Oh, I know. I dropped my Carter off at Stonebriar Mall this weekend and just said, all right, go have fun, buddy. And he said, I'm just window shopping today. And I was like, for what? And he said, for my Christmas list. So I guess, Ian, we're probably going to order everything on Amazon. I never thought about that before.
And I bet some of the employees at some of those shops are like, yeah, it's like $300 cheaper on Amazon. I know that's what you're going to do.
I did that exact thing at Best Buy a few weeks ago. I built a new PC for my desk, and I looked at all the parts. I was like, okay, cool. Not buying a single thing from here. I ended up ordering it all online because, one, some stuff was out of stock, and two, there you go.
There goes your Best Buy endorsement.
Yeah, that sucks. Well, I don't have any, so
it's okay. We're working on it, man.
From the 682, $9 plus for some pasta sauce. That's ridiculous.
Okay.
Bottled water. From the 812. Lots of people saying strippers. I wouldn't know about that. I don't know what the going rate for that is.
Has inflation hit the stripping game too?
I would have to imagine.
Sorry I'm saying this. I just feel like, what a waste of money.
Okay.
They got to make money. Somebody did say an OnlyFans subscriptions are expensive. I don't know about that either. But
I wouldn't know.
When you asked that question, my first thought was, is it the door that's been hit by inflation at the club, or is it inside?
It's a good question. Mm. Or is it the dances that you're like, 30? What happened?
It used to be 20.
Yeah.
Why'd it go up 10 bucks?
All right, real quick, before we get out of here, I teased this. Tom Brady did a auction at his former high school in California where he was auctioning off a car. and people could buy raffle tickets. And it's just like the chocolate bars that you see kids selling,
yes,
where you sell it and then you get prizes based off of it. So there was like a tier system. Kids, if they sold $500 worth of tickets, they got a Tom Brady signed football. You got a signed helmet if you sold $1,500, and a jersey that was signed if you sold $2,500 worth of tickets. They ended up raising $367,000,
for
this car. To which I tell you, the car is missing.
What?
Ever since they raised the money, the owner of the car, the man who was watching over the car, does not know where it is, and multiple media outlets have reached out ever since, and he is not answering phone calls. So the car that raised almost $400,000 is nowhere to be found.
Holy crap.
So they are going through an investigation, and the current guess right now is that the owner of the car sold it under the table for more money.
Oh, wow.
That is what they are guessing, but they are investigating. So if Tom Brady's doing an auction at your high school for your kid or something, you might want to check the source.
Man.
Yeah, Tom Brady always involved in scandalous
stuff. Hold on. Does that mean in a few weeks we should say Tom Brady presents the 11th annual Peace-a-thon? And everyone's going to be like, oh, my God, I'm so in on that.
I bet we can find a Tom Brady in Dallas.
That's
if your name's Tom Brady.
We like Fort Worth, too, right, Corey?
Yeah, I love Fort Worth.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, look, if you like this segment, you're welcome. If you don't, blame Corey. It's time for Gridiron Gravy, the craziest stat you'll hear all day. In the inevitable rabbit hole it leads us down. Next on The Fan.
It's DeMarcado breaking away. DeMarcado goes the distance. Touchdown, Cardinals.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. It's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some Gridiron Gravy.
There we go.
Gridiron Gravy, of course, brought to you by Rhino Shield. Why paint your house when you can shield your home? Visit RhinoShieldTX.com.
Do we need to get a Cooper Rush snap?
Oh, he does. Here we go, too. When we were out at camp, he did the. He definitely was doing Here We Go.
Okay, yeah.
Remember that, Kevin? We were all of them do
it. Yes, it was kind of odd. Man.
When he's down by double digits in the fourth quarter, he can drive teams down the field, too.
Here we go.
Now, we're going to get to a story that I think is amazing, and if you don't like it, blame Corey. But I have a couple of other things for you first. First of all, Norv Turner is going to join the Raiders coaching staff because his son, Scott, is the team's pass game coordinator, and so he's going to help out with that. And then also, if we can go to, do we have a Monday Night Football cut by chance? Did I forget to ask for that? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. So let's talk about Monday Night Football then, since I dropped the ball. The Bucs and the Chiefs. It was a super fun game. A lot of questions about why the Bucs didn't go for two when there was about 27-ish seconds left in the game. And then the Chiefs score in overtime to win 30-24. They remain undefeated at 8-0. Big takeaways from this game. Patrick Mahomes had surely his best statistical game of the season. And that is, believe it or not, that has now brought him above with more touchdowns than interceptions. Going into the game, he still had fewer touchdown passes than interceptions, but that has changed that.
Here's what I take from it, Corey. It doesn't matter how bad he plays in the first three quarters. And I'm not saying he played bad, but they had 10 points going into the fourth.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Kansas City losing 17-10. It doesn't matter. If he gets the ball with the game on
He'll
the line,
figure it out.
He's going to score a touchdown. He scores a touchdown, ties it up, scores another touchdown, takes the lead. Baker Mayfield, he did a great job. He did what he had to do. He drove his team down the field, tied the game up with less than 30 seconds to go, and then they lost a coin flip, and Patrick Mahomes said, I know what I did for three quarters, but when the game's on the line, I will play the best football you've ever seen me play. And then he scores another touchdown. I know it was a handoff to Kareem Hunt, but he led him down the field. So to me, my takeaway is, hey, it's the opposite of Dak. When the game's on the line, this guy, Patrick Mahomes, is going to play better than you could ever imagine. You're like, how did he play so bad for three quarters or so uninspiring football? And then it's just, I can't be stopped now when the game's on the line.
That throw that he made to Hopkins, Hopkins had two, three people around him, and the ball just falls right into his hands, and Mahomes was running forward and just said, I got to throw it.
Yeah.
He's got this magic quality, and in those late game situations, he's going to Kelce. And then he stops going to Kelce. Why? Because Kelce gets the double coverage, and it opens up Gray. It opens up Watson for these little passes that make big, big deals.
It was, like I said, a very entertaining game. The Chiefs, believe it or not, are actually the sixth defending Super Bowl champion to go 8-0 the next season.
Name the other five.
I cannot.
Oh, man.
I know. Sorry. One of them is the 1990 San Francisco 49ers, I think.
Wow.
But I cannot name the others. But it actually happens more commonly than you might think.
So you're saying good teams win games?
Yes. Interesting. Bad teams make bad trades. All right. So here is the statistic, and here's where we're going to go with it. So the Arizona Cardinals, they beat the Bears. Trey McBride, Trey Benson, and Amari DiMarcado all scored rushing touchdowns in the first half of that win. You might be like, great, who cares?
Yeah, cool story,
fair
bro.
Fair enough. It was the first time that the Cardinals had three different players score rushing touchdowns in the first half since December 2nd. Of 1923. And here is where the story gets really fascinating. That game was against the Oorang Indians, which was a team led by player coach Jim Thorpe.
Oh, of course.
You might be like, okay, yeah. Tell me more. Was that Oorang team any good? No,
they weren't.
They were not. They went 1-10 that season. The only team they beat was the Louisville Breckenridges. Other teams that they lost to during the season, and I swear this is true, the Milwaukee Badgers, the Toledo Maroons, the Minneapolis Marines, the Buffalo All-Americans, they got stomped in that game 57-0. The Cleveland Indians, not the old baseball team, the Chicago Bears, the St. Louis All-Stars, the Canton Bulldogs, the Columbus Tigers, and the Chicago Cardinals. They lost all of those games. And then they beat the Louisville Breckenridges. Now, your next question.
None of those teams are real.
They are real. Okay. You know what, Roman Reigns? What if I told you that is not the most ridiculous part of this story?
That's Roman Reigns?
Yes.
I never knew that.
The Oorang Indians were a traveling team in the NFL from Ohio. The franchise was a novelty team put together by Walter Lingo to market his Oorang dog kennels. So
genius. Saying that owners of football teams have always been involved in marketing.
Yes, if you think Jerry started it 100 years ago, this guy was doing a bit so he could sell more dogs. All right? And that is a true story. And so an Oorang, I guess, is kind of like a terrier. But he set this team up so they could travel around with the name of a popular breed of dog that he was trying to sell for his shops and his kennels.
Genius.
That team was terrible, and they went 0-10. And that's the last time the Cardinals had three rushing touchdowns. Just think about this for a second. It happened this weekend. The last time the Cardinals did this in a game, it was against a traveling novelty team that was there to sell dogs. And it was still the NFL.
That is insane. That, you know what, Kevin? This is one of the things I love about sending you weird stats is that you ask questions about the weird stat and then
you get very emotional.
Travel down.
That's crazy. I became obsessed with this. So Corey sent this to me and I go, WTF. And then he sent me another thing and I go, again, WTF. And so I started like,
that was our Mavs conversation earlier. Yeah.
About the right versus left 3-pointer breakdown. On which side of the court you're on, not political right versus left.
Insane. Which one are they better at?
The right corner three.
I'm sure the Adelsons support that. Yeah. Yes. I see where this is going. All right, what's the final count?
You're going to like it.
Okay.
It's 270 to 268.
In favor of?
Vice President Kamala Harris.
Wow. There you go.
I didn't know until I started doing the math, and then I was like, oh, I didn't know.
Okay. So it could all hinge on Pennsylvania.
Or Mike's map.
Yeah, man.
What if they just chose, they were like, all right, we're using Mike's map today.
Would it be crazier if it was that close or that Mike got it straight away across the board? He's like, now I got them all. This is exactly what I said was going to happen.
I'm very interested in tomorrow now.
Okay. We'll see how that goes.
But I got to live today.
Four straight games with 100-plus scrimmage yards for Bijan Robinson. And then another thing to go along with Monday Night Football, did you see Jason Kelce apologized for smashing the phone, for using the slur, and he said, I chose to greet hate with hate, and I just don't think that's a productive thing. I really don't. I really liked his apology because it felt like it was actually what he thought and actually what he was saying.
What was the line? There was a line that he said, it was something along the lines of, I didn't have my best week.
Yes.
And sometimes, you know, we that's how football players look at it,
that's
right?
True.
Each week is the way they approach
that
it.
That is true.
So I thought that was an interesting way to see it.
That is a good note right there. All right, well, let's go from that to what?
I just gave Maine that one electoral
you
vote,
did.
Though, because I actually
yes.
gave them four, but then Nebraska, I'd have to change. What if it's 269 to 269?
Do you want me to actually tell you what's
no,
going to happen?
Because we'll
it's bananas.
Break.
Okay. I will tell you during the break because the process is very complex from there if it ends in a tie.
You said it's bananas.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, Mike asks the football questions.
He's been so busy working on his math.
We pivot to power rankings. We'll find out what happens next on The Fan.